The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Into what God has destined that we should be. Paul told them, "My little children, with whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." And you notice in that verse, he talks about travailing in birth again. So he refers to two births. So there has been a first birth, now he's about to give birth again. The first birth is the new birth, you being born again. So the second travail he's talking about is spiritual growth. The formation of Christian character in them. Getting them to align to what God has already made them in their spirits. Is that okay? So he's traveling again. So that's why we're coming around. So that God can change us. So that we can become as we really are. Do you get it? So we can become in our mind and in our body as we already are in our spirits. That's why we come to church. That's what the Bible refers to as renewing of the mind. What does it renew the mind? It means to feed the mind with what is in your spirit. I get the point? To feed the mind with the content of your spirit. So how do I know the content of my spirit? What God's word says it is. So when you feed your mind with the word of God, you are feeding it with the exact same thing that has occupied your spirit man. So it's called renewing the mind. Amen. And it is by that renewing the mind that you are transformed. That you are transformed. Amen. So we are here for another mind renewal. And today is going to be interesting. I've prayed for you that God will give you revelation. But the things I'm going to say this evening are going to be very simple things. But it's going to get you thinking. Amen. And it will bring us to a point where we realize that the limits of this Amen. Wind another mic. Yes, technical team, would you believe God? It's the better mic. This one is good though. Or something better. Amen. Amen. Something better. We're going to have it. Good quality. This one is good. But something... Praise God. So, I'm saying, we need to be changed. We come to church to be changed. So, this I'm going to be sharing with you. There are simple things, but it will help you see that this God life, the boundaries and what we have in it is actually much. So, it will be very simple, but you've got to think how much God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you ready for the word?
Yes, sir.
Today is the what?
12.
Yes, sir. We are moving.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And God is changing us.
Amen.
Did you pray today?
Yes,
sir. Did you join the prayer watch today?
Yes,
better don't lie. Did you join the prayer watch today? Did you join all of them? Which one did you join? Did you preach to someone today? Did you preach the gospel to someone today? So you got someone saved today? If you got someone saved, please let me see your hand up. If you got someone saved today, raise your hand. Now, people that their hands are not up, begin to clap for people that their hands are up. Uh-huh. Thank you. God bless you. May they clap for you tomorrow. Get someone saved. Preach the gospel. God doesn't feed us in vain. It is so that we can be a blessing. Amen. Okay, let's have our seat. Let's take some steps. The Bible said, you know, when you read the Bible said, I will do a new thing. When people read that, what they assume is that God is about to do something that he has never done before. But when you read your Bible, the Bible also tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. So when he says, I will do a new thing, he's saying he will do a new thing to you. Something you've never seen. But to him, it's not new. I'm starting this way for a reason. When we teach the things we teach, this will be teach for some time. Somebody is going to say, man, this revelation is fresh and new. Actually, with God, there is no new revelation. In fact, anybody that preaches a new revelation is preaching a false revelation. Are you following me? It can only be new to you. It's new to you because you're learning it today. The things about God that we are sharing today have always been what the apostles shared, and that's what they've always wanted to tell us. So you notice the thing, for instance, when we teach that the man in Christ is immortal, people say, that's a new one. It's not new. Because we are teaching it from the old Bible that you have. Are you following me? Well, we'll talk about the life of God we carry. People say, man, I've never heard that before. Well, you are correct. You've never heard that before. But it is not new. It has never been new. Because it's from that same old Bible you carried our teaching. Let me even say something else. Nothing that God is doing today came up to him as a new initiative. Everything God is doing today and everything God has done in Christ has always been his plan from before the time began. Are you getting the point? In fact, let me tell you this. What God is doing on earth today is trying to bring man to his original plan, what has always been his plan before the time began. For instance, when we teach on salvation, you say, when you get saved, this and that happened to you. That has been God's plan from before the time began. It's been his intention. So salvation is not a new agenda that God came up with. It's always been his agenda. So the fact that we have the life of God in us, which those who are teaching on, is not something God came up with. It's always been his plan. Are you following me? In Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in his own image. In our own image. Let us make man. So he declared his intention. So from the beginning of time, God's plan has always been that man will be in his image and likeness. In other words, man would carry his nature, which we now call his life. Do you understand? So it's always been his plan. In fact, when I taught you on Genesis, I told you, anything you think that God is doing that you cannot find in Genesis, then it's not true. I get the point. Everything God is doing is found, it's been his plan. God doesn't have new agenda. That's the truth. He doesn't come up with something new. Say, let's try something new. He doesn't do something new. His plan has always been his plan. Even before Adam fell, the plan of God has been clear. I want man in my image. So Adam falling, was he missing out from being in that image? And from that time, God never changed his plan. He had just been working to bring man to that plan, which is what he has done for us now in Christ. So today we are in the image of God. Coming to his plan that he made before the beginning of time. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So God has always wanted man to be in his image. God has always wanted man to be immortal, to carry his life. Do you know? Let me see if I can make this statement and maybe get you thinking. Do you think, because we're going to answer that question today, do you think that when God was creating the earth and created man, did God plan for man to die? Think. Was it the plan of God that one day man will get to a certain time, then he will die and return to dust? Because today we are teaching on the fact that God is giving us immortality. Part of that is that we are going to live long. I'm going to discuss that one today. We're going to live long. People feel like living long. Must every believer live long? Is that even in the plan of God for all of us? The first question is, did God ever plan that man will die at all? Let's see. Let's take a study. Are you ready?
Yes,
this is life and immortality. Genesis 1:31. After God was done creating everything, that was his statement. I said, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was, talk to me, it was very good. So God looked at everything he made. It was very good. Now, that means whatever that is not very good was not in God's original creation. Right? So, are we right to say that sickness is not in God's creation? Are we correct? If you say that lack, poverty, all of those things are not in God, are we right? So if you say that death was not part of God's intention and creation from the beginning of time, are we going to be right? Because everything he made was good. So how did death come? The first mention of death was in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. So let's look at that. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, what will happen? Thou shalt surely die. That word die there is the Hebrew word mut. M-U-T-H. It means to, your existence will stop. But the interesting thing is that that word mut was also the word used for surely. So how it appears in the Hebrew is, thou shalt mut mut. That shall die, die. So he sent them, you will really, really die. In dying, you shall die. Are you following me? So you notice the first mention of death. There's a law in Bible study called the law of first mention. I've taught you that many times. The law of first mention always teaches that the first place you find a concept or a word discuss or appear in the Bible, that most times it carries with it the real meaning of that word throughout the whole Bible. For instance, if the first time we see Satan or the concept of Satan come in the Bible was Genesis 3, when we see the serpent come to deceive man. And what did we see from that? He's a deceiver. And that's what Jesus said about him. He's a liar, the father of all liars. Are you getting the point? The first time we see the word righteousness, for instance, appear in the Bible is Genesis 15 verse 6, where the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And if you read your whole Bible, how man becomes righteous is by believing, by faith. There are many examples like that. And so this Genesis 2 is the first time we see death mentioned in the Bible. And how was it mentioned? It was mentioned as a consequence of an action. Now, if something is a consequence of an action, it means that it may or may not happen. Is that true? If I say, if you touch this speaker, I'm going to slap you. In other words, my slap is dependent on whether I touch the speaker or not. So if you do not touch the speaker, there will be no slap. So that consequence is dependent on the result is dependent on my action. So it came as a consequence of sin, of disobeying God. Are you following the point? If you eat, you shall die. Now, of course, the death discussed in that verse is not only physical death. It's actually primarily spiritual death. Spiritual death. Right? Spiritual death. And some people have tried to argue that what God was telling us is that if you eat of this tree, you will die spiritually. And I agree with that. But it's not only spiritual death. How do you know? By the time you get to after they now ate of that tree, I'm coming to what that tree is. After they now ate of that tree, in Genesis 3, God was now beginning to explain to them the meaning of this thing he told them in verse 17. In all those things read in Genesis 3, where he was telling them, woman, you shall struggle to do this. All of them were just trying to explain to them what he means by you shall die. Do you follow this point? And observe that everything described in Genesis 3 are physical effects. Right? You shall now struggle to eat. You shall now... So, in other words, that death they died, even though spiritual, was going to have physical implications on them. So, go to chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, as eating of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. So, did God curse the ground? No. The ground was cursed as a consequence of what Adam did. So, it's also part of the death that God told them that they would die. So what God was doing in chapter 3 is telling them, look at now the result of what you did. I told you in chapter 2 that if you eat, you shall die. Now that you have eaten, look at what the death implies. Apart from spiritual death, cause is for your sake, in sorrow that shall eat of it. Are you getting the point? Next verse. Thorns and thistles shall he bring forth to thee, thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Verse 19. Everybody, please read together, everybody. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and so this is physical death mentioned here now. So it's also a consequence of that their unbelief, that their disobedience. Do you follow to this point? So death in itself is a consequence. Physical death is a consequence of the sin of Adam or the sin of man. So death was not in God's original plan. If I let me show you this. Someone say, what was God's original plan? Let me show you this. Go to Genesis 2 verse 9. Please follow this study. Because, are you here? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. What follows? The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And so what are the two trees mentioned? Tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, I've explained to you that these are not physical trees. They're not literal trees. It was something used to illustrate something. But if, I won't get to that. I'm coming to something. So, he mentions two trees. Tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then he goes to verse 16. Then he tells them, verse 16, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So, we are there free to eat of the tree of life. I feel I'm showing. So, where did they have liberty to eat of the tree of life? What were they not meant to eat? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. What are they meant to eat? The tree of life and every other tree. But it's just the tree of life that is there, as you see. So, I will tell you, so God gave man two options. Eat of the tree of life or eat the other one, right? I'm coming to what that means. Now, what will happen when one eats of the tree of life? Genesis 3:22. I'm trying to show you something. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, let him put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the tree of life has capacity to make someone to live forever. Is it clear? Now, in chapter 2, verse 16, he told them that they can eat of every tree, including the tree of life. So, do you think God wanted man to die or to live forever? So, when we say eternal life, immortality, it's not something God that Jesus brought or came up with. It's been God's idea from the beginning of time. So, I tell you what happened in the garden. The tree of life and that of good and evil, these are figurative terms. Right? We've seen, which we're going to touch a little today, that this tree of life is actually Christ. How do we know? If you check other places in the Bible, you will see tree of life. It appeared a couple of times. And there is no physical tree like that. When you eat, you now have life. So it was figurative. Right? So they had to believe or not believe. They had to either believe in the tree of life or eat of the tree of life and or eat of the tree of good and evil. So obviously what happened there, like I've explained before, it was a case of faith and unbelief. I don't want to get into that study. I've done that study many, many times for you. It was a case of faith and unbelief. Right? There was something God told them that they should have believed. If they had believed it, they would have eaten of the tree of life. If they had not, since they didn't believe it, they believed what Satan told them. What did God tell them? Let me give you literally. What did God tell them in Genesis chapter 1? I've made you in my image. I want you to be in my image. What did Satan tell them? If each of these three, you become in God's image. So Satan gave them an alternative to what God said. So they believed the devil and refused to believe what God said. Do you get the point? So that tree of life is a picture of Christ. They were supposed to believe. Then tree of knowledge of good and evil is a picture of unbelief. Now, where are we going to with this? So end point is God wanted them to eat of the tree of life. That's the point. And he knew he could make them live forever. And yet he wanted them to have it. What does that tell you? That in the original plan of God, death was not intended. So they were supposed to receive both spiritual life and an endless life by that tree of life. Which is what Jesus has brought for us now. When we believe in him, what do we receive? Spiritual life and an endless life. Which is why even after we die, we are going to rise again. So what God has done is to take us to his original intention in the garden. Are you following the point? So established physical death, right, was not part of God's plan from the time he created the world. So if they had believed in Christ Jesus, if they had eaten of the tree of life, man would have died. Man would have lived forever. Amen. Glory to God. And somebody's thinking, so if people are not going to die and they will give birth to more people, won't the world, the earth be so full? I don't have an answer for you now. But you know you are not wiser than God. Can I even tell you, even currently, with 7 billion people on earth, man has not occupied 20% of the earth. Are you aware? Even currently, check, it's not Bible, real life talk. So stop that argument in your head. But God never meant that man would die. The plan was that when you come, you eat of the tree of life and you live. So death was not in God's agenda. Amen. And to further prove what I just said now, that physical death was a consequence of man's fall. That's why when Jesus came, hear this, when Jesus came in an attempt to, you know, Jesus came to correct what happened in the days of Adam. In an attempt to correct that, what's the first thing he did? He died physically. By dying physically, I feel I'm saying now, if physical death was not a consequence of the sin of Adam, Jesus would have needed to die physically. He died physically. Secondly, the Bible also tells us that part of what he will conquer by his death is physical death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25 and 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 25. Hallelujah. He said, for he must reign till he had put all what? All enemies under his feet. What is the enemy? Verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He says, sir, but that's spiritual death. No, that's physical death. How do you know it's physical death, sir? Go to verse 53. So death is an enemy of God. And God wants to put it under his feet. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Remember this scripture? And this mortal must put on. So it's referring to us, right? That when we die, when we are rising, our body will put on immortality. Verse 54. He says, quickly, next verse. For so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in. So God plans to swallow physical death. And that final swallowing will come when we rise from the dead. Do you follow to this point? So it tells you that physical death was never part of his plan from the beginning of time. That's why men that believe in Christ, after all of this, we're going to live forever. Because that's always been his plan. That's why there will be a new heaven and a new earth where we are going to live here forever. Are you guys following me this evening? Okay. Am I running? Is it clear? So God never intended that anybody was going to die. That's what I'm trying to make. Do you know what this tells you? Because when we say, content for long life, people say, does God really care whether we live longer or not? He never even wanted you to die in the first place. Death is an enemy of God. God has a few enemies. Death is one. If I say it's the last one. Didn't you see that in verse 26? The last enemy that will be defeated is death. So God has dealt with spiritual death on the cross. We are saved now. But the physical death, he will deal with it. By the time he swallows it up, in that new earth, nobody is ever going to die. In other words, in that new earth, after physical death has been swallowed up, that is the final correction on what happened with Adam. No matter what you do, you will not die. Do you follow to this point? Amen. So what this tells you is that this life that Jesus brought for us today, right, still has power over physical death. It will be manifested fully later. But even currently, we can still put physical death in its place. And that's what I'm trying to make today. Even today, we can still put physical death in its place. Amen. How are we going to run over physical death? One of the ways that we surely run over physical death is that, like we have said, we will all be raised from the dead eventually. But even till now, before we are even raised from the dead, we already have control over death. And I'm going to show you to that tomorrow. That the believer in Christ today has control over physical death. We started laying that foundation since yesterday. When I said to you on divine health, right? I'll be 2 days ago now, sir. That we can, so by what I taught you yesterday and 2 days ago, you find out that we can actually prolong our lives by ejecting sickness. Were you here yesterday? So we can deal with sickness, and by dealing with sickness, we're prolonging our life. And Jesus came to prove to us that he's not just here to deal with spiritual death, he also came to deal with physical death. He rose from the dead to start with. And then while on earth, he raised a few persons from the dead. Every time you see the Bible write about how Jesus or Elijah, all of these guys, raised people from the dead, it goes to tell you that the life that God has given us has power over physical death. If that life in us can raise another human being from the dead, don't you think that life can prevent us from dying? Now, the first thing I told you guys, if I stretch this to a certain point, if I stretch it to a certain point, one of you will begin to believe you will never die. Are you following me? Yes. Because it's an amazing truth. This is, do you believe anybody can live and not die? We are getting to that. We are really getting to that. Say, I have immortality.
I have immortality.
So you see him meet Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He didn't mind. He rose from the dead. You know what he's trying to say? You know, he told Mary, he said, if you believe, your brother shall rise again. Mary said, I know you will rise again at the resurrection. He told him, I am the resurrection and life. In other words, I'm not talking about what happened in the future. I can raise him up today. So, Mary, I'm not saying that there will be no resurrection after now. But I'm saying even now, resurrection and life can raise this guy from the dead. So even currently, I'm not saying you will not be raised in eternity. But I'm saying even currently, resurrection and life can keep you. That's why when you read your Bible, you find that the Bible is filled with many promises of long life. Many promises. Why does God want long life? Because of the fall of man now. Man is going to die because this flesh, you know, we're explaining that this flesh is still on, we're still wearing this flesh. But even with this flesh, God still wants us to be able to dominate physical death. To a very large extent. To a very large extent. So in Psalm 91 verse 16, he said, with long life. Oh, are you following me this evening? Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? So he promises to satisfy us with long life. So the Bible promises long life in many places. Do you know what it means to be satisfied with long life? Do you know what it means to be satisfied? What does it mean, literally? To be okay. Speak it in Igbo or your dialect. Like, you don't chop belly full. So he's saying, he will give you long life to a point that you now say, okay, I'm full, I'm okay now. I don't want to die. That's what he's promising. You know, that's the kind of life you're meant to live. That's the plan of God for a Christian. That he will dominate death to a point that the day he will finally agree to die. Because remember we said, he's not even dying, he's about to sleep. When he now wants to sleep, he will say, okay, I'm done. Don't let me now sleep for a moment to wake up again and continue. But that's not how many people see it. Who knows when nobody's going to die? You know, everybody has different times that are going to die. Who knows? I'm going to address that tomorrow. Does God have a stipulated time for you to die? We're going to see that tomorrow from the Bible. Amen. Will long life, will I satisfy him? In other words, you will live to a point and you say, I'm okay. Thank You know, my pastor was sharing with us recently about when the father is still alive and strong, right? When he was celebrated his birthday, and like somebody was praying for him. I was like, we're praying for, is it 20 more years? The man said, no, who are you living that one? So in other words, he is at a point where he has lived. With long life, shall I satisfy him? Amen. This teaching will do a lot to you. It will change your life. I say it will change your life. Oh, where is your voice? Did the rain collect it? It will change your life. Because you don't want to stand up. I will satisfy him in long life. Psalm 118 verse 17. Ooh, glory to God. Psalm 118 verse 17. Let's read together, everybody. I shall not die. Live. We're going to come to this scripture maybe tomorrow. But this is what the psalmist is talking. I'll show you two scriptures that really bless me. Isaiah 46 verse 4. Isaiah 46 verse 4. God is promising long life. 46 verse 4. He said in that day, 46 verse 4. 46 verse 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. And even to your old age, I am he. Even to your hoar hairs, I will carry you. I have made and will bear you. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Give me like an answer of that verse. He said, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. Now, if God doesn't want all life, he will be talking like this. Until your hair is white with age. He said, I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. I told you about salvation yesterday, right? Every time you see long life, you see salvation because it takes many deliverances to live long. But God is saying, don't worry, I will make sure. Someone has got to act on God's word and believe God's promises. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. So those of you that are planning not to see your children, your children's children, should cancel that plan. He said he will carry you till your hair is white with age. Are you following me? Now look at the scripture that I was showing mom recently. Isaiah 65 verse 17. 65 verse 17. Oh yes. He said, behold, I create new heavens and new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. What he's talking about is what he will do in Christ Jesus. I will still come to that. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. You know, this has happened to us in Christ now. People normally say this new heaven and new earth is talking about when Jesus will come. Yes, that is that concept. But what he's talking about here now is what God will do or has done in Christ. He said that people shall be a joy. Now verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Hallelujah. Verse 20. There shall be no more dance and infants of days. Nor an old man that had not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. You see, that's why I say this is not about new heaven and new earth. Because in new heaven and new earth, we are not going to die at all. So he's saying this will happen on your earth. Just that you live so long that when you die at 100, they will say, chai. Give me an LT. No longer will babies die when they are only a few days old. You know, you can pray this over your children. My children will not die when they're a few days old. No longer will adults die before they live their full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. He said, only the cursed will die that young. Can there be cursed in the new heaven and new earth? No. That's what I tell you. It's not about when Jesus will come. It is what will happen now. Only the cursed, so 100 will be young. You know, I just want you to think. I'm going to get you to think. Because you've got to think, change how you see this whole thing. Amen. Amen. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Give me Amplified Classic. No fear of death. That's what I'm going to deal with. Fear of death. You can't carry mortality and you're afraid of dying. What if we not get out there and then can now jam you? Jam who? There shall no more be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who dies prematurely. For the child shall die 100 years old. And the sinner who dies when only 100 years old shall be thought only a child, cut off because he's accursed. So actually, it's not normal for believers to die prematurely. And you better learn what we are saying, so that you will not be a reference point for bad news or for bad example. Because what is going through your mind now is, but I know people that are believers, they died early. May you not be that kind of person, no? Because I will show you how you can choose life. How you can prolong, how you can take from this immortality that is in your spirit, man, and make sure it becomes a reality. That you take off this body when you are tired. With long life, will I satisfy you? So you take it off when you are satisfied. When you say, oh, I don't chop belly food. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Let me take you through this. The Bible records something very interesting that I've been studying for a couple of weeks now. Trust me. If not months. I've been checking the age of people. Because you notice, even after Adam fell and died, the first death we see mentioned in the Bible was who? Abel. Who was killed out of hate. Do you remember? Out of hate. They begin to see other people. So, Abel died from murder. But you begin to see other people. It took them time to die. Because they have never seen anybody die apart from Cain. And the only way Cain died was through murder. And then we see Lamech killing two people. We saw it the other time. But then these guys lived. I'll give you some example. Adam died at 930 years. Say amen. 930 years. You know, when people ask stupid questions like, who did Cain marry? You know they are asking they think they are asking a very smart question, but they're asking a very stupid question. And I've explained that to you. If you check, the Bible was not written chronologically. I've explained that. You know, people think that after Adam and Eve left the garden, they had Cain and Abel. That's all they have. Immediately after Cain now killed Abel, before the Nahar set. That's what happened. But that's the only truth. Adam had plenty of children. Imagine having children in narrower than 30 years of life. Because Adam, listen to this, Adam was created a full grown human being. So from the time he was born, he could give birth. So when you read the Cain and Abel story, don't think that it happened when there were only two people on earth. He said, why were they doing people discuss? They were discussed, I've explained that before, because the Bible had an aim to lead us to Christ. If you're confused, get my teaching on Genesis or the promised land. You'll get it very clearly. Are you still here? So, Adam, 930 years. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Seth died at 912 years. Enos died at 905 years. Canaan died at 900, not Canaan, Canaan, that's C-A-I-N-A-N. That's, you find that in Genesis chapter 5, verse 10. Canaan died at, okay, I think 905, yes. Enos, okay, Enos 905, rather. Canaan, 910, I'm right. 910. Mahalalel, 895. Jared, 962. Enoch, interesting story, 365. But they're even arguing that he didn't die. That he just went. 365. But he died though. 365. Are you here? Methuselah, 969. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Do you know what this tells you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Adam died at 930. Then there was Lamech and other people that came. Are you following me? There were other people that came. Lamech died at, which is, I think, around 777 years. So when Lamech died, that's verse 31. How old was Noah when Lamech died? Next verse. That's verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old. What I'm trying to show you, some of these guys, people like Lamech and some of these Enos, they met Adam. Some of them saw about 10 generations. Lamech, for instance, Lamech, who was Noah's father, met Adam. I can trace it for you here. Yeah, I don't have time for that. So they lived that long. As these ones were burning, everybody was burning, they were getting old. 800. So when you see that Noah began to build an ark, he was about 500 years. I prefer what I'm saying now. You know, and sincerely, when I was younger, I used to feel that that's the way they calculate their age. That is not like how we calculate it. It's not true. I took a study into history and I found out that that thing is balderdash. It's not true. It's the same way you calculate age. That's how, so they lived. That was how the world was able to multiply so quickly anyway. Because these guys lived long. Come on, 800 now. So, and the women, interesting fact, did not have menopause at 40 or 45. Think about that. There are just a lot of things that you read the Bible, you just know that the plan of God for us, not many of us have walked into 5% of it. I'm just telling you. Today, I said before, a girl is trying to get married early because if she now hits menopause, she can no longer give birth. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? The Bible never recorded that Adam had two wives. It was just Eve that gave birth to all those sons and daughters. So how? Now I'm trying to get you to think. Even though spirit death had come because of Adam's sin, man still had time, needed time to get used to death, to get used to that fallen nature. It took time before things began to degenerate. Things were still happening at a very supernatural level, even after man had fallen. So after the flood, Noah continued. Noah lived 950 years. Yeah, that was his age, 950 years. Then he began to drop. Shem lived 600 years. Then Arphaxad lived 438 years. There's a man called Salah that lived 433 years. So he began to drop. Are you following? He began to drop. Abraham lived 175 years. He began to drop. So he dropped at a certain point. But this guy still lived very long lives. And I wanted to see that for most times, we are the ones placing a limitation on how long man can stand this earth. Because remember where we're coming from. In the original plan of God, he didn't even plan that anybody will die. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then you see Job. I'm not teaching for long today. I just want to get you to think. I'm trying to get you to see what God wants to do for us today. Because I'll build on this today. Tomorrow. I want you to see beyond how you've always thought. Do you believe that you can see your children, your children's children, and their children? And you will not see them with walking stick. Say, my children, what is this one's name? I'll just show you tomorrow. That's not the God's plan. Instead of you to get to that point, die. That's not God's plan. Otherwise, you'll be alive and your children will not be saying, when will mama die? Some of you know what I'm saying. Some of you didn't pray it for your mother, but you prayed for your grandmother. Because she's just there, and everybody just spending on her. Everybody just... Because tomorrow we're going to look at what is the, why does God want us to live long? What's the purpose of long life? Long life is purpose. God doesn't just do things for nothing. Why did he want us to live forever? And now, why does he want us to live long? Is it just so that we can bear the title of, I've lived long? Why was he keeping them to stay that long? Amen. So, we see Job. Job, for instance, we don't know how old Job was when he fell sick. We don't know. But what we do know is that after he gave birth, after he was restored and all of that, he lived 140 years. That is plus whatever he has lived before. Job chapter 42, let me show you. You guys are looking at me like I'm forging these things. He looks forged. Verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even. Are you people in church this evening? That is after, hear this, after tragedy has hit a man, he lived, he had children, they grew to maturity, they were already old, they were already men. Tragedy hit, all of them died, so he began to give birth again at an old age, and still saw his son's sons unto his fourth generation. I get to the point. So, Bible historians tell us that Job was, let's say, around 60 or so. Because his kids were already fully grown. Bible said every day he would wake up and make sacrifices for them because he doesn't know whether they have. So, they were fully grown men. And then they die. And then Job falls sick for a couple of weeks and months. And then it's about 9 months or so. And then recovers. And then begins to procreate again. And still raised his children. And saw his sons. Saw his sons' sons. And saw on up to four generations. And that's your story. Oh. So I don't begin to think that, oh, it's like I did not marry early. Oh, I did not give birth early. So it means before my children even finish giving birth, I will just die. Why do you think like that? And that's the thing. You know, there is this thing on earth. It has influenced how we think. So when I say I have life and immortality, let me tell you what immortality is. Immortality gives you power to control life and death. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm telling your story. I said, I'm telling your story. Oh, this will be your story. This will be your story. Then, that's the next verse. He gave the conclusion. That's verse 17. Job died being old and full of days. NLT said, he died an old man who had lived a long, full life. That's the plan of God. If there's nothing else I achieve today, if I bring it away, you begin to see that this is actually what God wants. That at 100, we will say, Chai, he died early. You know, hearing me today will not make you start thinking this way. That's why I'm saying I'm just laying foundation. You have to go and think. I've said I've been on this thing for weeks because I believe the word of God. I love the word of God. And I agree with the word of God. But there are many examples here that makes it difficult to believe what is written. So that's why you've got to stay on it. Recently, I got a few books, about 3, 4, 5 books on long life. But when I saw it in the Bible, I said, man, it means I've always believed in long life. Do you understand? It was one of Gloria Copeland's book I brought. He said the Christian should set his target on 120 years. And she gave a reason. 120 years. I said, okay. Why is this place looking quiet? When do you want to die? Glory to God. Say, so I live long. I live strong. With nothing wrong. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Do you remember Deuteronomy 34, verse 7? Let's look at it again. It will make more sense now. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Quickly. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. And Moses was 120 years when, and his eye. I'm going to show you the reason for this tomorrow. That's why I say I'll show people of long life. Do you know? Where did Moses die? Where was he when he died? On the mountain. God took him up a very high mountain. I was studying that mountain too. And the man of God said that the last friend he had that climbed that mountain, a youth, said he saw hell climbing. Is the mountain that still exists in Israel? Moses climbed that mountain. So a 120-year-old man alone climbed up a mountain. And his eye was sharp enough to see the whole land of Canaan. Do you understand me now? He now died. So, long, full life. Somebody said, but Jesus, our Lord, died at 33. Yes, because he came to save you. And don't you observe, before he died at 33, there were many attempts to kill him. I've read the Bible. Bible says sometimes they would have captured him. One day they captured him. Look for that verse. They captured him, took him up a mountain to push him down from there, and he left. That's the Bible. He just walked away from their midst. Now, I was thinking about what do they mean by... Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have they seen it? Just pray that we'll find it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's see. Look for. Okay, you're right. Start from 28. So your prayer worked. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, we are filled with wrath. So they were very angry. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So the whole crowd gathered deep. They said, we'll not go agree. We'll go throw him down. He just. So when he just died at 30, that's why, you know, I cannot believe that. Judas didn't believe that they would kill Jesus. He kind of feel, I'll just chop these people. Like, I'll collect the money and he'll go die. He knew these guys. They've tried many times. When they came to catch him, he told them, he said, why did you guys come with sword and all of this? I've been between the synagogue all the while. You couldn't catch me. He was trying to tell me, it's not this sword that will make you arrest me. I'm laying down my life. I can take it. He passing through them, through the midst of them. Let's see how that verse is, translation is rendered that verse. Well, let's see what happened. But he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. They should pity us. Just give us more details. I'm very classic. You're not a translation. Passing through their midst. Like stress freely. He walked through the midst. So they gathered him. It was a mob action. You will learn, as I'm saying already, it's not everything that can kill the believer. As a matter of fact, I believe. Now, I'm going to explain this tomorrow. Nothing can actually kill a believer. A believer lays down his life. He either does it knowingly or unknowingly. Yes. Many people give up the ghost. They release them. How did Jesus die? People said on the cross, he released the spirit. That's what the Bible said. So if he didn't want to die, he would have held on. So he died for you. So he didn't die because he couldn't be saved. So don't even bring up that just example. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your seat. We are learning. That's why I started with talking about mind renewal. That's why I started with that. Because these are things that we all say long life, but we've never seen it. It's the plan of God, because he never even planned death from the beginning. He never intended death from the onset. So when we say we are living long, people say, how is that what God wants? Did he ever want anybody to die? Amen. Now, let me show you what Jacob said. Genesis 47 verse 9. What Jacob said when he met Pharaoh. He was telling Pharaoh that he has passed through a lot. Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil are days of the years of my life been. I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers. Give me an NLT. He's saying, I've lived more than 30 years. But my life has been short. Compared to life of, so he calls 130 years a short life. Say amen. He said, my life has been short. Another person would have said, I've lived though, I've seen things. You know why he said that his life has, because the problem, I'm using the verse to show you why many of us find it difficult to believe for long life. Why was Jacob saying his life has been short? In comparison with, he had examples. Problem is that for us, if you are up to 80, all the people around you died at 40 and 30, so you now feel my life has been long. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm trusting God will raise many examples of longevity. That's when you hear me talk, for instance, you hear me say, Brother Hagin, Copeland, these are people I know, TLS, but they lived quite long. And I've been looking at their lives. They're the examples. And they lived full lives. Tell us one pastor. Either it's 89 or 9 something. Brother Hagin, it's something. All of them, long life. This is about, we are saying 120. With long life shall I. That's the game. So whenever you feel you've been satisfied. I told you guys, Brother Hagin used to say, if you are sick, don't ever die of sickness. He said, if you really want to die, get healed first. Then die if you want. That's what he believed. I didn't die of sickness. I put my eyes on them. 90 something. 100 and something. And they're still going. With all the attacks that come, they're still going. I've traveled this earth for 130 hard years, but my life has been short. So, Pharaoh, before you think I've lived a very long life, this is a very short life. Like, I can imagine what Pharaoh will be thinking. So, what are you saying? Even we in Egypt, we don't live that long. Are you following me? Hallelujah. We are living long here. Let me address one more issue. I think we have time to pray this evening. So, there is this belief that that God have decided that people will not live long again. That he put a limits on how long they can live. Have you heard of that? You know where that is coming from? Psalm 90 verse 10. Psalm 90 verse 10. Oh yes. Are we there? If you get there, you let me know. Are we there now? Ready together? 70. What is 70? 70. 70. A score is 20. 60. And 10. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and will fly away. So people stand on this verse to say that God has decided that everybody is going to live. Give me like another of the verse so you get why they say what they say. The 70s are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and fly. So he's trying to say, God has decided. Everybody, before people used to live long, but now, you can't live that long. You know the problem? When you believe that 70 is the benchmark, you might not even reach there. That's the problem. And what would have helped us in this verse, in this study, would have just been context. So who wrote Psalm 90? Look at your Bible. Don't say David. That's a heavy assumption and you are wrong. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Your own Bible. Psalm 90 from the beginning. Who wrote it? It's Moses. Psalm 90 is the prayer of Moses that he was praying for Israel when they came back from surveying the land of Canaan. That's in Numbers 14. And they said all the stuff that they said. Are you getting the point? And then God said, fine, that means all of you, you're going to go. Since you said, are you getting the point? Since you said you will not enter the land. So this was Moses' intercession for them. So we're going to look at it from verse 1. So he started by saying, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place, Psalm 90, in all generations. Before the mountains we are brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret things in the light of thy countenance. So he was actually interceding. Are you getting the point? Pleading. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our days as a tale that is told. The days of our years are three. Do you get the context? The context is trying to tell God, look at what we are passing through because of what we have done. So he is not actually saying this is now a new order. He was narrating to God, and by the time we get to the subsequent verses, he was begging God to please turn away this thing that has come upon them. So it wasn't Moses saying this is the benchmark for everybody to live. He was actually complaining to God that, unlike what you have known before, we now die at 70 and 80. So he still considered 70 and 80 too young, that he was complaining. So that verse is not really meant to make you say God, to make you think that God has shortened life. Moses is complaining that 70 and 80 is actually small. It's just like somebody praying and said, Father, look at our family. Everybody's now dying at 10 and at 15. Do you get the flow? So we're saying, Lord, look at us. We're now dying at 70 and at 80. The same 70 and 80 that if anybody lives up to now, we'll say, celebration of life. Whatever you want to do with this message, you do with it when you get home. So he was complaining. So Moses complained that 70 and 80 years is too small. So Lord, what is happening to us? We are dying young at 70 and at 80. Thank you, Lord Jesus. At 70 and 80. Because to prove to you that that is not correct, that this 70 and 80 thing is not correct, if you now check, in fact, even the Moses himself that wrote that thing died at 120. Aaron died at 123. Do you follow? Are you following me? Joshua died at 110 years. I give you real figures. So there is no way God would have said, you know, I'm angry. You guys will now start dying at 70 or 80. God doesn't do that. God never did that. But you see what the problem is? Maybe I'll run ahead of myself a little. As a man thinketh in his heart. So because we have accepted it as the norm. You know, I was thinking about something earlier today. Because this is actually serious. When I said, Lord Copeland said we should start seeing, we should set our target on 120. I was wondering, why? What does it matter? What that was? And I thought about something. There's something we call, because it's all affecting how we think and how we see life and what we're expecting. There's something they call midlife crisis. Have you heard of it? Midlife crisis. They say every man suffers midlife crisis. Don't bother about it. I'm just saying. But the question now is, I checked, when do they consider that midlife should start? They said it's from 30. So they've seen midlife at 30. So they've broke their mind. I get what I'm saying now. So if actually you change your mind, it means at 50 or at 60, you still believe that you are in the middle of your life. Because, you know, you look at how some men of God think, and I'm really amazed, really blessed. You look at a man like Pastor Deboy. Last year he announced, camp meeting. This is their Holy Ghost convention. He said about building more hostels. That he needed how many billion again. So people started complaining. The first thing that came to my mind is, a man at this age is still conceiving visions. In other words, he's not thinking of going. He's still conceiving, say, in the next 5 years, in the next 3 years, in the next 7 years, at that age. I get what I'm saying now. They are still conceiving visions. But he, at his age, said the Lord told him that it's time to start going to the fields again. So he has started, you know, by the history, pastor at a time, went to the field, did many crusades, and the Lord said he should stop. He stopped. Now, at what age now? Over 70. He said the Lord said a new phase of his ministry has started. It will change how you see things. I get the point. So that at 70, others are packing up. Say, let me be packing up. Say, my children, continue. Your father has done his best. I don't like how we live long in Africa. You see a man at 60 or 70 in Africa. Have you seen some old men in the village? And you expect that when they die on their poster, you see 150 years. You see them is 63 years, 67 years. Have you seen such things? And they don't know their age, but they know their age. They may not know their actual age, but they will tell you they were born after the war. So the children will just put two and two together and say, well, after the war, this is the age. Are you following what I'm saying now? But look at some of these guys. Now, white guys, many of them are like that too. I see many of them, they get old very terribly. And their old age is blessed. But you look at some of these guys who are, because people say, I don't like all this word of faith. Better start liking word of faith people. Because I'm word of faith. Look at these guys living by what they're feeding on. Sometimes they conceive visions at 70. At 70, they say, we're starting something new. At 70. At 80, God is laying bigger things in my heart now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. With long life shall I satisfy him. And I will show him my salvation. Another scripture that causes a little of an argument is Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Amen. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 100. And so people say God has limited people's age to this. I've never argued this with anybody. Because even if it is true, okay, live up to 120. I don't argue with man with anybody about this. But it's actually not what he says. That's not what he says. What this verse actually is saying, take it or take it, is that God was saying he was going to wait 120 years before the flood will come. So Noah was to take up the preaching of the gospel to them and share with them for 120 years to see if they would believe and turn away. So God, that thing is called the long suffering of God. Are you following me? If you don't like it, leave it. Even if, you know why I say, if you don't like it, leave it. Because even if you believe that it's 120 years, it's still fine. Leave 120 years. Don't you get the point? Because people that believe, it's not, God never placed any limit on how long anybody can stay. What actually began to happen is that as man began to grow, and, you know, his mind began to conceive that certain things were possible and other things were not possible. Why am I dwelling on this matter and repeating myself again and again? Because even up till now, the possibility never settled for your head. So it's difficult now to convince someone that he will stop to 200 years. It's difficult. Not because the person doesn't like the word of God. It's just that there's just so much that's affected his mind, affected his thinking. Like 200 years, to do what in this place for 200 years? What am I doing? Am I metal seller? Are you feeling what I'm talking about? So man began to learn how to die. Man began to learn how to cooperate with the flesh. Man began to learn how to handle spiritual death. Because remember, death is a consequence of sin. Right? So we can say physical death is a consequence of spiritual death. So man began to learn how to accommodate that. Did you observe that in the whole Bible, and this is very interesting, even after man fell, not one person, before you could see someone, I'm trying to think, I can't remember what I wrote up in, that's my notes. In Genesis 3, Genesis 4, Genesis 5, 6, 7, down, you will not find anybody that died of sickness. Sickness didn't still kill. In fact, the first case of someone that was, people that were ever sick in the Bible, was when a particular king took Abraham's wife. And the wives became barren. And just next, after that barrenness, was divine healing. Because Abraham prayed for them and their wombs were restored. I get what I'm saying. So people were not still dying of sickness for a very long time. The only death common to man was either murder, which was Cain, are you what I'm saying, and Lamech, or natural, where people live to the fullness of their life and they die. So people gradually began to learn how to die of sickness. They began to learn that, okay, sickness can kill. Imagine if you've never seen anybody or heard of anybody that died of headache. There is no way you feel headache to ever think that it could kill you. I get the point. So man had to learn how spiritual death works. And then accepted it. Then he began to walk. That learning is still what you have to do. We have to unlearn. So when you see us say that we don't believe that sin should kill anybody, you say, why are you talking like that? What do people know? Do you know people that have died? So man began to learn gradually. And you know, I was thinking about this. Somebody's going to say, you know, the reason they lived long then was because the world was not as wicked as it is now. But that's not correct. In fact, the wickedness that God saw in the days of Noah, has never seen it before. No, I didn't say it. He said. I get to the point. He was so shocked. I think it's in verse, this Genesis 6 now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to verse 5, but that's what I'm going to share. Go to verse 5. Let's read together. Okay. So God saw and said, now wow, you guys are wicked. Go to verse 11. He said, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So even as violent as the world was, people were still living 900, 800, 700. You know how violent the world was? How wicked the world was? To the point that God, and I was thinking about it today, God looked for a righteous person in the whole earth. He only found Noah. At least today there are 2-3 people. At least I'm here. You are here. He looked at the whole earth. He only saw only Noah and his family. Because you convinced them, you know, he's the father of the house. Come on, come and enter the ark. Noah preached for years, 120 years. Telling them one thing, please now. They consistently resisted him. The world was that wicked. But people were still living very long. Who said because there is violence that then you are not going to live long? I get what I'm saying now. Let me tell you, tomorrow I'm going to see how I'm going to contend for long life in this meeting. I will do it from time to time. But the thing about it is, the world is wicked on its own. Death, you know, it's not even people say, if you don't travel out of this country, you might just die. You can die anywhere. You can die anywhere. He said, I don't want to be a pilot. He said, why? Because you don't have plane crash and die. You can die in your room. We'll deal with fear of death tomorrow. Fear of death. It's one of the worst fears. Hebrews 2:14 gives us a peep. And I'm going to analyze that scripture very well tomorrow. A peep into what the fear of death can do. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Put on, he said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil, verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death, we are all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the fear of death is bondage. People, it cripples you from moving forward. I know people that have chosen a particular career because I know people that say, well, they won't have 8 children. I say, why? So if one die, other one will stay. So if you know somebody say, I just want to have one child, they say, one child. The unsaid fear is, what if he die? They will not say it to some, even tell you. Say, we are not praying for bad thing, no. God has to change your mind. God can satisfy you with long life. He can keep you long. He can keep you strong. And he will do it. I'm closing already. I thought I'm not preaching for long today. I decided I was not going to get into any other matter today. I'll just stay on this. Until your mind begins to see that some things can happen. That even though you are carrying this sickness in your body now, it is not going to kill you. Even though you are in a war infested, a region where there is war and whatever, it does have capacity to kill you. It doesn't. Even though there is violence everywhere. When I was trying to get admission to school, they said, a suit is a shoot. That time I went to, when a suit was a shoot, they used to shoot. They said, you want to go to a suit? And truthfully, when we came into school, it was really hot. All these people that came to Jesus, I said, you guys are blessed. Those days, it was a blessing. Have I met people with gone? Not once, not twice. If I came in, by the time I even came in, it has cooled down. Because the stories we even heard, how they were in class, everybody was just, we were in class and early morning for lecture, a group of students came in and started leading them in worship. With gone. They were singing and they were passing offering basket. Put your phone. It was everything bad. But I gained the admission. There was no fear. What if I go and they bring back my corpse? Whose corpse? One of the major, I'll talk about this tomorrow. One of the major reasons why God will preserve your life is because you are in His agenda. Yes. You are in His assignment. You are on an assignment with Him. Bring back whose life? Good cops. I want to say this by the Holy Ghost. You know the Bible said, Psalm 1 verse 16, because I want to dwell on that a little before, but I will leave it and come back. He said, with long life shall I satisfy Him. I want to show you something. When you see with long life shall I satisfy Him, you observe, and I'll show that tomorrow, that God has not placed any deadline on when anybody will die. This is very important because some of you need this help. God has not chosen that anybody will live up to 10 or 15 or 30. What determines how far people live will be their choices, which we are going to see some of those choices tomorrow. Are you following me? Now, why am I saying this? So that, not that when you hear this teaching, stop asking yourself, one of these guys that really served God, he knew the truth, but he died at 30. He died at 50. You don't know what they had with God. You don't know the agreement they had. I feel what I'm saying. You don't know what happened. Because someone can actually choose to die at 50. And God will honor it. You say, why? Precious in His eyes are the death of His saints. The believer never dies. God never loses when a believer dies. Are you getting the point? The believer can decide, I beg, assisted, I don't tire. He may not tell you, it's his decision. Now, he now dies. You now begin to say, oh, but he trusted God. Mm-mm. Never let anybody's experience affect your faith in the Word of God. Because it happened to me some years ago. When I began to read, there's one particular death that shook me. I was in first year. I mean, first or second year. This thing shook me to my bones. The only death. I think I've mentioned this here once. Yeah. When the man died, I was like, Jesus. He died of plane crash. That's from a plane crash. I'm like, He said, what is it you are saying? God began to talk to me. But I later read the Kenneth Hagin book. Kenneth Hagin said, somebody died like that, and then he was really bothered. And then one of those visions that he had, who has read this in Brother Hagin's book? One of those visions he had, he went to heaven, and he was with Jesus walking. Because Brother Hagin had those visions and all that. And then he saw that brother. And he said, the brother told him, and Jesus told him, he said that we both know why he left when he left. Yes. He said that was refreshing to him. Don't put your mind on, but this person died at this. Some people die because they don't have the knowledge. Some actually have the knowledge, but they've chosen. I've taught you before. I told you that story of, words have been spoken. Do you remember that? A particular young man that used to say he would die before his 40th birthday. And he fell sick.
But Egan didn't know about this. And he was called upon to pray for the guy. He said he was going there every day to pray. Because he's a stubborn brother Egan. And that's how healers are. Stubborn healers. People that are not trained with the healing thing just can pray once and say, he didn't get well and they go. He was going there every day. Every time he found chance, he would go there, he would pray, he would go there, he would pray. And he did that until one day, the guy died. And when he died, the family was like, sir, you've really been here for us during this whole sickness. So could you at least come and bury him? So he said, fine. He obliged and he went there. He said, after they finished the burial, they were going home. The brother of the guy said, there's something strange about this, my brother's death. He said, he has always been saying that before his 40th birthday. Because Brother Egan said, every time he goes to pray, the word he will hear in his spirit is, words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. He said every time, he didn't understand it, but he heard from the Lord. He said, it was when that guy began to tell him that, this is my brother, used to say that before he turns 40. He will go. He said he remembered words have been spoken. So people make their different choices for whatever reason. In fact, being someone that's been a little experienced in praying for the sick and having seen a few of them, at least one or two of them I prayed for die. He says, I've seen someone I prayed for die, actually. I can tell you, people give up. Sometimes you go to pray for them, say, I'm just praying. I've tried now. Let my children just do well. At least they are doing well. I don't like the fact that I'm now stressing them. You know that kind of talk. I just want to go. You know, at that time, you are contending with the person's will. God can never go against his will to listen to you. So my point is, there are many reasons why things can happen. Some I can tell you, some I don't even have an answer. But don't let anybody's experience make you doubt what the word of God has said. With long life shall I satisfy you means that whenever you feel you are satisfied, you can go. And it varies for different people. Believe in long life. Believe that the life of God in you can preserve your life. Can preserve this mortal life until when you are tired of it. Then you stop. We'll look at this more tomorrow. Right? But let me just show two more scriptures that I've shown before, not today. Earlier, then we go. Are you blessed? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 1. Let's see if we can use New Living Translation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh yes. From verse 20. He said, for I truly expect and hope that I will never be ashamed. But I will continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. So this is a man negotiating between life and death while he's still alive. He said, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which will be far better for me. He says, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. So he has made a choice. Now see what follows in the next verse. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive. So it was Paul that made that choice to be alive. Are you getting the point? He showed us his dilemma. Sincerely, I'm okay. I'm satisfied with where I am now. So I really want to die. I've been satisfied. But then, I've checked it. So because I have decided, I am convinced that I will continue to be here. In other words, he was in prison. In other words, even if they try to kill me, I will not die. I'm going to be here. Thus, with long life shall I satisfy you. By the time he finished the work, He now said, I've fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. That is now laid up for me, a crown of rejoicing. He was the one that decided, I am done. What does that mean? He was now, give me the word, satisfied. That's what I'm trying to say. Look what I was. He was now satisfied. In other words, I'm fine. I've finished. That's 2 Timothy. I finished. I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the race. I have remained faithful. Next verse. He said, and now the prize awaits me. The prize, the crown of righteousness. And all of that. He said, I've done. I'm done. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He keeps us alive. He keeps us alive. He preserves our life. That's why he gave us this God life. 2 Peter, close with that. Chapter 1, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's use NLT too because of our time. It is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon. So, I've said it before. People normally say that the disciples, apostles died of martyrdom. That is actually true. But that's also false. It's true. Why I said, why I wanted to say it's almost false is because they died at martyrdom, but they died when they wanted to die. So they allowed martyrdom when they were fully satisfied. Now, I believe some believers will die of martyrdom. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's an honorable death. Are you aware? To die for Christ is the most honorable death to die. The most honorable death. So there's nothing wrong with that. But observe that none of them died of martyrdom when they were not ready. Do you know the reason? We'll look at this thoroughly tomorrow. The reason is because if someone dies of martyrdom and we shout, oh, we love the Lord, many people might even believe because he died. But if he stays on earth, there are more people he would have reached. So most of these apostles laid down their lives only when they knew they had done. They were done. Are you following me? So if a man feels he is done at 22 and decides to die, he didn't die a bad death. He laid down his life. Are you following me? The popular story of Bishop Polycarp's martyrdom. Have you heard of that? Bishop Polycarp was a direct disciple of Apostle John. John mentored him directly. He was the last link between the Bible days and then. He died of martyrdom. They killed him. Very interesting martyrdom. They brought him to this stadium-like kind of place. The amphitheater. And they said, they asked him to recount, to renounce salvation and all of that. And he refused. So they insisted, they beat him, all of that. By the time they even stabbed him. Because first they set him on fire. He wasn't even burning. Dramatic story. He began to glow. They put this sword and then stabbed him. It was so dramatic. Many people got saved that he's dead. But you know the problem? He was 86 years. That's a good thing. 86. That's why, remember that his speech. He said, for 80 and 6 years have I served him. He has done me no wrong. So he had finished ministry, completed the work. In fact, they came to tell him, 2 days before that they were coming to kill him, they begged him to run. He refused. He was done. So he accepted it. So even martyrdom, which is an honorable death, the believer see as a right. That's why, because Jesus was ready to die, they brought him to push him down. He walked away. But when he was ready to die, they came. He told them, why are you guys coming with all this sword? And you didn't want to kill. He said, I was with you guys every day in the temple, teaching daily. You couldn't do anything. So don't think because I just wanted to follow him. So when Peter tried to fight and cut off that guy's ear, he said, okay, put back your sword. He said, don't you know that I can call my father? He will send me 12 legions of angels now. When I was just saying, if I want to walk out of the place, I'll walk out again. That is the power of life and death. That's immortality. So he only died because he chose to. That will be your life from now on. Because that's the quality of life received in Christ Jesus. He said, for our bodies, our Lord Jesus has shown me that I must soon live this earthly life. This earthly life. And I have to tell them, you know, verse 15. So I will walk out to make sure you always remember. So he was saying, I'm writing this letter now. This is 2 Peter. I'm writing. Because I know that I will die very soon. So death did not take them by surprise. They knew. This life we have in Christ can preserve our life. That's why all the instructions we are going to receive in this remaining days of this particular life and immortality teaching, if you can apply them, you can stay as long as you want to stay. As long as you want to stay. So that when you are ready, you can now say to the Lord, okay, I'm ready. Call your sons. Bless them. I get to the point. Give inheritance. State how things will be. There you go. I get to the point. There you go. It's not for some special pastors. Look at W.F. Kumuyi at that age. Still preaching. Still going. At that age. At that age. Still strong. How do you know how old Pastor Kumi is? Huh? The man is approaching 90. Still alive. Preaching. And I believe those men are there. So that you can have examples you can look at. And know that certain things are possible. It's not for our generation to fight them. There's a generation that will die young. People that fight their fathers. I wish I would get that tomorrow. It's actually in the Bible. The rebellious, they dwell in a parched land. Because people that God has set before you as an example, you are fighting them. Instead of learning from them, you are fighting them. They are not going to be perfect in their character and their teaching. But God is using them as example. Remember Isaiah 51. Look to Abraham, your father. God always puts people in a generation that we can look to. I get to the point. That people can look to. Can look to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look to Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. I called him alone. I blessed him and I increased him. So look at some people. So you see me, I study biographies a lot. Yes. That's the first kind of Christian books that began to interest me. Biographies. Biographies. So I read about many people. I still do. And with everything I've read, I can tell you a long life is possible. So what do you mean by long life? A satisfied life. That's why I'm closing today. A satisfied, you know, like a life that you live and say, okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A satisfied life. A satisfied life. A life that you are done, you've checked everything, you've put your family in place, you've put your ministry in place. Are you getting the point now? You say, okay, I'm fine. Now, somebody's thinking, so do you people think you have that much power? Because in this world, that's what I'm trying to correct with this with today. Nobody knows who he can be next. It may be you. You know, nobody knows. We know. We should know. What did I say? And we will know. I say we will know. Hallelujah. I say we will know. Should I show you a last scripture? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah, play this song for me. Every tongue in heaven and earth. Yes. Oh, yes. Exalted. Thank you, Lord. Oh, ancient. Now, I'll show you one scripture. So, a believer is supposed to know when he will die. Right? Because it's supposed to be an agreement between him and God. Do you know that? And that's how I'm going to close today. Do you know that even the, what do I call it now? Okay, you know, there are some people that will be alive when Jesus will come. Not everybody would have been dead by then. Do you know they will also know when Jesus will come? You know, they say he will come like a thief. You know, they said people said he would die, that Jesus was going to come. When was that? Yesterday, 2 days ago. Don't take all those kind of things seriously. I'm going to tell you why. If Jesus is going to return tomorrow, sit. If he's going to return tomorrow, and we know, you will know. All of us will know. Even if we don't know 5 days before that time, immediately when the time comes, we will all know. Yes, are you so sure of this thing? 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's just look at it. Let's start with NLT from verse 1. So, my point is, even people that will be here when Jesus will come, will still not be caught unawares. That means, even when the believer is supposed to die, he's supposed to know. Now, concerning how and when this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. At least people build their doctrine. Like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then the other will fall on them. As suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains, and there will be no escape. Now, this verse is not talking about you. It's not saying you will not know. He said, but you are not in the dark about these things. Dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the Lord comes like a thief. Go back to that verse with King James. But you, brethren, are not in the dark. That day, it will not take you like a thief. You will know. He says, sir, how are you going to know? How are we going to be raised again? That spirit of God in us, that life of God. So once you have that spirit of God, you will know. You have the witness will come. You will just know that this is the time. Because the trumpet will not sound to anybody's ear. It will sound. That trumpet is the voice of the spirit that will speak in your heart. So all the people that use the vision of angels at four corners of the earth doing paparap is nothing like that. There will just be a witness of the spirit in your heart that, hey, it's time for us to go. That's how it will be when the time of your death comes. You will know. So it's time. Have you ever heard stories of Christians that died like this? I have many stories like that. Even my own father died like that. I told you guys. Yes. When it was time, he told them that he's hearing a trumpet sound. He asked them that legendary question. He said, is it possible for someone to work at Peaceman's Transit and get his payment at Entraco? And they told him no. He said, can you work at Oceanic Bank? If you are young, you don't know this ones I'm calling. Can you work at Oceanic Bank and get paid at Intercontinental Bank? And they said no. And I told them, that means it's not possible for someone to work in the kingdom of God and be rewarded in the kingdom of darkness. They said yes. He now called my brother and said, do you know what he called trumpets in Igbo? My brother said, no. He said, ask my mom, said, no. He said, I can hear it blowing. Oh, that was the last thing he said. And passed. So, all this, who knows? If with more training, you will even know. You can even tell people.
He says, you guys are saying, did Peter not just tell you that he will soon die? Why is it a big deal? He said the Lord has told him. So, you know, God told him you are going to die. He said, God, wait, let me write this last letter. Let me inform my guys, my goons, that I will soon die. So he wrote the letter and told him, we are immortal. I'll leave you to go home and think. Meditate on these things. These things are possibilities of the God life. Even after some men never received the God life, it still took them 900 years for spiritual death to be able to kill them. Are you following? Now you have the life of God. We have never thought of these things as possible. That's the problem. We've never thought that it could happen. We've seen it as normal for a child to die at 42, at 50. We've seen it as normal. There are verses we must contend with. That verse that said, from now, children will no longer die when they're a few days old. You've got to speak that over your kids. No child here is dying in this ministry. We're not losing anybody as an infant. It's the word of the Lord that we're going to stand on. We're going to stand on it. We're going to stand on it. So, the key is, when are you satisfied? Once you think you are, then it's fine. But if you are not, stay longer. So, some of us will die before some of us, obviously. Because some will be satisfied early. It is this principle that people don't know. That's why people die a lot. Because they actually act like that, satisfied when they are not. Because they give up. I'll touch that tomorrow. I beg. I just won't go. Let me go and rest. You know that kind of thing. It's not like they really want to die, but they are tired. And once you get to that point, God will let you have what you want. Amen. So what are you going to do with this message? Say, I live long. Shout it again. I live strong with nothing wrong. So whatever pain in your body, whatever sins in your body now, I'm just trying to inform you that it can go, and it will only take you out if you are ready. If you don't want, that sickness will leave your body. Because immortality will crush it. I get to the point. This sickness will not be the end of you. So someone that has been given power to control life and death, what sickness can he not pull out of his system? Lift your hands. Just pray a simple prayer. Say, Father, revelation by the Spirit. Pray. Because this has to take hold of your heart. I receive revelation by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Pray. Don't stop. I'm giving you 2 minutes. Take it and pray. When Paul said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's what we're talking about. That these things have been made available. That's because the human brain cannot carry what I'm sharing. The human brain cannot carry these things. Many of it is still clashing in your head. That's why you have to pray. So that when you step out of the road, you are not afraid whether you will see tomorrow, because you know you will. Because the
fear of death is crippling. It's crippling. Many don't even attempt big things. Jesus' name. The Lord is showing me something. How many of you, what is happening in your head is that the devil is reminding you, many people that you know, they have gone. You see that they didn't know the Lord. Didn't that one know God? Didn't that one know? Are you trying to say? Well, I tell you what to do. Just keep learning. Because there's something he has installed in your head that you are trying to uninstall. You are trying to change how you think. And you know, when you change that, everything is going to change. Do you know there are people, you know, Bible says through fear of death, many people have been in bondage. There are parents that their children, I've seen many things like this about fear of death. So my child wants to go and play ball abroad. I know a story like this. My child wants to go and play ball abroad. As in a top club. You know what football is now? Like oil money. And the mother said no. How can my child go out there to come play? What if anything happens to him then? Who will be there with him? I refuse it today. Fear of death. My child can never be a soldier. Why? So they're going to kill him for me. Fear of death. I get the point. New ideas are coming to your head. See, with me flying all over the world. I beg, I don't want a plane. Ha! Ha! Fear of death. There are people that have flown all their life and they've retired. This is your life. You, after this teaching, you will talk like Jesus. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up again. I have power to lay down my life. And I have power to take it up again. Because that's the reality of every believer. Do you want to say that? I have power. Even if you don't believe it. Just say, I have power to lay down my life. And I have power to take it up again. Say, no man taketh my life from me. Jesus said that too. Thank you, Lord. Put this on the screen. Let's just declare that and go. Woo! That's John 10, verse 18. John 10, verse 18. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Same say, no man taketh my life from me. He said, I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. Put up NLT. English translation. NLT. He said, no one can take my life from me. He was saying, it's me that said the sacrifice. That's Jesus talking. Say, I have the authority to lay it down when I want to. And also to take it up again. He said, this is what my Father has commanded.
You will know. You know why I've started this meeting from day one? I've written to you. This is right unto that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know. I have the authority to lay it down when I want to. And to take it up. It doesn't matter how sick you are. Even if you are born a sickler. And you are now born again. You now have power to lay down your life or to take it up when you want to. Yes. You have power. Another translation. Hallelujah. He said, I am authorized. I have power to lay it down, to resign it. And I am authorized. I have power to take it back again. These are instructions, orders which I have received as my charge from my Father. You know the beautiful thing about this? What is true of him is true of us. I have immortality. Because that's actually what he's saying in this verse. I told you, he puts it in charge of life and death. So he was saying, I can lay it down. In other words, I can decide to die. On Sunday, I think God gave me a release to do that. I'm going to have a special teaching on Sunday. It's going to be a service of hope and miracles. And I'm going to address the spirit of depression and suicide. I'm going to tell you why a believer should not commit suicide. If you think you are okay with life, tell God you are okay to go. I'm going to show you in the Bible. And then I'm going to show you how not to be okay. Because God doesn't even expect the believer to die out of frustration. My life is just a mess. It's just a mess. I'm going. I'm not doing it again. God, take me. That's frustration. He said, I will satisfy you. That's you've lived and lived and you're so happy. You say, I want to die now. And not suicide. And there'll be many miracles on Sunday. Amen. Because Sunday, I'll try to bring this life and immortality teaching to a close. Then we open up another. Are you getting blessed at all? Yeah. Glory to God. Glory. Say, I have life. I have immortality. Lift your hands and just bless the name of the Lord. Bless him, bless him, bless him in this place. 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 Come on. Sharandele krodosku brendia vrete shukataya. Mandela kronda sabandi kaladinda shkodobandia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Tomorrow 5 p.m. we resume. But when you get home tonight, pray over these things. Think about them. Keep them deep thoughts. Read these verses again. You know, I scan through Genesis 5. When you go home, don't scan through. Sit down and read it. How did I come up with this one? Leave one. I read all of them and now wrote them down for you. So you go and look at it yourself. Is that okay? Look at the order of life. And when you read, say this one is possible. Is it possible? It's possible. But those guys were not even born again. They didn't. Some of them didn't even believe that Jesus will come. They were just people that were living spiritual death. So read them, pray over them, put them in your heart. 5 p.m. will return tomorrow to build on these things. Have you been blessed? God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.